Welcome to the Retail Reality Show.
Welcome to a new episode of the Retail Reality Show. My name is Martin from Blank, and across from me is sitting Nino, my co-host. Hey, Nino, how's it going?
Hey, how can I sit across in a virtual environment?
again, everything is digital, but yeah, nice to see you. Is everything going good?
Yes, how about you?
Yes, everything perfect. So for every listener out there, we're three German guys today, but speaking English. So not the usual, but we wanted to make it a little bit broader. So also our international friends and community members can listen to the podcast, because we have a very special guest today. It's Omar Tello, CEO from Zenzalytics. Hey, how's it going?
Hi, Martin. Hi. Nice to be here.
Nice. Very good. And you're sitting in Stuttgart, right?
Yes, exactly. Our office is here in Stuttgart.
Perfect, perfect. Sounds good. And you were just on vacation, so you must be really full of energy and refreshed.
I had a great time with a lot of sun and beach.
Where have you been?
In Turkey.
Turkey, okay.
Okay, so let's get started. So today we're talking about retail analytics and much more. Zenzalytics is one of the leading companies and startups in this area, in the German-speaking area of the countries. You're an expert in this area, so we're really happy to have you on board to talk about this today. So maybe before we dive into it, maybe you can say a little bit about how you got into IT topics and data and retail analytics.
Yeah, sure. Thank you very much. So I started studying IT in 2003. I finished it 2007. Since then, actually, I'm working with data. I started as a business intelligence data warehouse consultant, specialized on e-commerce, web tracking, conversion rates, worked for different e-commerce companies. And at some point, 2015, 2014, I decided to found Zenzalytics together with Dominik Laubach. And we wanted to bring analytics to the real world, to brick and mortar. Mm-hmm. And that's how Zenzalytics started.
Very cool. And can you say a little bit about the actual projects and topics that you guys are targeting with Zenzalytics?
Yeah, it's various, and we are currently, to be honest, in an identity issue. We don't really know where we are, to be honest. But maybe I start from 2014-15. We wanted to create a simple software as a service product for counting people in retail. So we wanted to have a people counting company. We started with light beams. Since we are tech guys, we developed a lot. We developed our own analytical platform, spent a lot of time and money in our report designer. And since then, a lot happened. People counting is commodity. We always wanted to have an in-store analytics product, which is working in real time. This is something what tech guys would say, in-store analytics in real time. But to be honest, we didn't really know why we wanted. There was no ROI, where there was no use case. So this platform was made to be a real world, real time tracking, which can solve different problems, which is different solutions for different problems, especially in retail. And that's how we ended up to be, let's say, the COVID-19 counting company, where we equipped thousands of stores with people counters for real-time occupancy tracking. We have a lot of in-store analytics projects where we collect data, dwell times, pathways, classify people. We use that information real-time to open and close checkouts. We do different things in retail to optimize the operational work, not only the strategic analytical work, but also to optimize what happens now, to speak with the client or to the customer directly instead of saying that your staff does not speak with them, that the conversion rate is low. So we try to increase the conversion rate instead of just pointing that it's not high enough. And that's where we are.
But maybe Omar, because I'm a newbie, I have to admit, in my world, the customer journey is mainly digital. And for sure, there are some store. If you talk about omnichannel, like pick up in store or ship from store. But let's say looking at the store from a data point of view. So maybe you have to help me a little bit and explain why do I need to or do, why do I want to track as a retailer. Let's say I'm a grocer or I'm a Tom Taylor and I'm looking at my store. What's in it for me from a data perspective if I start tracking? And what can I track actually today?
Well, yeah, you could track a lot, but maybe we start why. The first issue every retailer has is they need to know how many people who came in bought something. It's a classic conversion rate. It's not really interesting for food retailers. It's only for fashion retailers, for, let's say, low conversion rate retailers, I would call them. And if the low conversion rate is low, they have an issue and they have to really do something. They have to be to optimize their service. So one point of tracking data in every store is if your conversion rate is only 7%, but your target is 9, you have to do something in the store. The store manager has to do something. The product managers have to do something. There is something to be optimized. Okay. And that's one thing. And then you go into details. And you would like to know, why don't people buy specific products, even if I promote them? Or another question is, I promoted the product, but I don't see it in my cache, in my products. Nobody bought it. But how did people behave who came in because of that product? Because frequency, people counting, people tracking tells you that this campaign led to much more frequency, much more footfall. But the numbers don't say it. So you need to find out, why did the people come? You know that they came because of the campaign, because it's obvious. But what did they do? Did they check it, but did not buy it? So you have a micro conversion rate with in-store analytics, which allows you to find out, what did this campaign change for my sales? And why didn't, let's say, women buy this, but male people bought it? And this is just like, let's say, analytics in the internet. It's just like e-commerce tracking. You need to find out in specific conversion rate tracking how I can optimize that specific store and how I can optimize the whole product placement. This is the analytical, the strategic part, the operations for, let's say, the store manager part. But what we really thought about the last month is if we can find out that the person who is a potential buyer is in the store for a specific dwell time already now at this time, we inform the staff that they should take care of this person. Because if this person buys, it will increase the conversion rate. So you optimize, you have an efficient way of, let's say, consulting your staff using a hidden anonymous tracking system, which tells your staff where to be, when is the right time to speak to the person. This increases conversion rate. So it's always about, of course, bringing people to buy more, to make more money.
Sure. So on the why, it's basically what you can't measure, you can't manage. So you obviously want to know what's your current conversion rate, to your point, and then looking at a campaign or comparing stores among each other and then enabling store staff to be better at upselling, cross-selling, to increase the conversion rate. Okay, I got that point. And if we think about the not the why, I think we talked about it, the how and the what. What's possible from your wisdom, or maybe if you can give us a little bit of a broad overview, and then we can go into much more detail. Where did this tracking world started? Because I think frequency tracking is one thing. I think now in the new reality of AI, I think some other things are possible. So it would be great to get some download from your end.
Yeah, there are a lot of different technologies to track people, to track assets, and all of them have their advantages and disadvantages. So if you would like, let's say, to have a real-time POS opening and closing system, so the system has to decide, we have to open a new POS within the next 2 seconds, then you need a very, very accurate, and the accuracy means centimeter and second exact tracking system. If you would like to know how many people are at the outlet city in Metzingen, the whole city, you probably don't need every second and every centimeter in accuracy. So based on this requirements of the problem you would like to solve, there are different sensors to use. And Sensoritics is a software company, so we always check new technologies. We check different vendors. And so it's not an easy answer. You have to use this special sensor. It does everything for you. It does not need power. It does not need anything. I'm looking for this sensor, but there is no. So maybe I would I just summarize the top three from my point of view for tracking. So counting, there's only one way currently. It's the 3D sensor. You can use it from any vendor. It's counting very accurate. People can detect gender, and it gives you a very good footfall to just know how many people were inside.
But so at the end of the day, just to interrupt you, at the end of the day, as a store manager or as a regional manager, I know how many people have been in my store today, and then I can look at, I don't know, sellout data from my cash register, and then I can calculate and measure everything I want, conversion rate, average basket, and so on and so forth, right?
Yeah, this is the classical retail analytics. But if you go into the store, not only at the front, at the door, what we use is also interconnected 3D sensors, which track every second and every centimeter, very accurate, which allows us to find the journey. Because if you are in a retail store and you only have, let's say, a probe request, which comes every 5 minutes, you don't have any clue of the journey. You know, a lot happens in 5 minutes. And that's why we need to be very accurate in time and position. Doing that, we use 3D sensors like explained. It's optical sensors. They are able to track if it's adult, if it's child, gender detection, and the view direction. So we know where they look at, we know where they stand, and we have the full tracking journey, which is 100% GDPR compliant, because we track the people based on their movements. So we cannot say it's Martin or it's Nino comes again, because we don't have biometrical information using that. You could also track people with classical CCTV cameras. In that place, you have a problem that the position of the camera.
What is CCTV?
It's a normal surveillance camera.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And this allows you, of course, to look into the face. Every IT student is able to get your biometrical information based on open source to find out this is Nino and this is Marty. This is possible technically. Storing biometrical data is not really GDPR compliant, and the usage of it is not worth it to store this information. So working with biometrical data is, for analytical reasons, for store optimization reasons, from my point of view, not the right way. To track every movement of a person in the store, to know where the person is, where it went, if the person bought something, is very mandatory for analyzing the success of a store. But I don't know any other tracking solution than 3D sensors which are able to get this information. There is Wi-Fi tracking, or there used to be Wi-Fi and beacon tracking. I think 2015-16, there was this hype. It's just, it's not only a GDPR problem, it's just not accurate enough.
GDPR problem, because your device locks in, your iPhone or your Google phone, and you hand over the IP address, or what's the
Wi-Fi tracking, they track the MAC address, but since I think even iOS 9 or something like that, iOS is changing the MAC address, so they have a GDPR embedded function. They don't allow people to track your MAC address. They change it from. But on the other hand, to be honest, it was never a GDPR problem with Wi-Fi. It was the accuracy of time and position that was just random. It was didn't make sense. That's why Wi-Fi tracking is not used anymore.
Maybe just as a on a side note, because probably most of the listeners haven't seen how sensors are tracking people within a store, and I think it's already a pretty pretty good statement from you that when we talk about analytics and tracking in stores, it's about sensors and not cameras, and that's not the same thing, right? So a sensor, maybe, and also you can elaborate on this, because I just touched upon it. I'm not the expert, but as much as I have seen, it doesn't capture the images itself, but more of that detects objects within a room or within an area that is being tracked. And this object is being identified as a person X, let's say, that is moving through a store and this and that way. But at the end of the day, the sensors are not capturing the images, but they're capturing the metadata that is being generated by the sensors, correct?
Exactly. They, from the installation position of that sensors, they are not able to see your face because they are installed on the ceiling. And it's anonymous by design because it cannot identify you as Martin, because it cannot find anything on your body, on your shape, which makes you unique. But it makes it unique because it knows that this object moves because of the 3D tracking, and this object was 500 milliseconds before in another position, and it's the same person. It's the same object, not even person. We can track cars, we can track bicycles, anything you can think of. So it has advantages, and it is used, I mean, thousands of sensors like that are installed in airports, in shopping centers, in retail. Not only from sensors, but the sensors are what I'm talking about currently. They are proven, and they are rolled out, hundreds of thousands of them worldwide.
Mm-hmm. But for me, again, as a newbie, and I think many of our listeners are newbies in that respect. Number one, you said frequency, easy. You use 3D sensors. People walk in. Probably there's another one at the exit. So they walk out and you know how many people are in a store and you can calculate. Second, I think what Martin mentioned, you store or you look at metadata. And I think you already mentioned journey. So what I would be interested in that if you pick a website, if you have a user who is not registered on a website, you today store a cookie and then you can track that user across the website. And you, in the end, you can get a profile and you could say, hey, this was a, maybe if you take an apparel example, this user was interested in running because they looked at running shorts and shirts and running shoes. Can you do the same in an offline world? Can you, let's say, track this one profile? And even though you don't know that it's Nino, but you maybe see my head and you can see, hey, this head now showed up in the entrance and then it showed up with the fridge and then it showed up here and there. Can you track a journey and create an anonymous profile of me? And or is that not possible?
No, exactly. This is what we do. We call that object rules. So we classify the people based on the rules the retailer defines. The retailer can say, I would like to classify my visitors based on their behavior. For example, I want to know how many wanderers in the accessoire area that I have. What's the percentage? And what do the wanderers, accessoire wanderers, you call them, like, what do they do after they were in a specific group? And you could also say, what is the conversion rate of these people? So if you say the people who come to a specific area, I classify them as accessoire buyers and not wanderers. What is the conversion? And if you find out it's 80%, because it's a direct purchase, you can classify, you have the cohort grouping based on their behavior. And we do that based on the tracking. Because, like I said, we cannot say this person was yesterday there and yesterday the person was a wanderer, because it's not possible to find out that it's the same. But we classify the people in their groups, and then we give you the data. Every anonymous track, every anonymous person, we classify it in a group. You can change it whatever you would like. We have all the tracking data stored, and you can recalculate it if the marketing thought on that changes. So, and using the data, you can also create a motion heat map. You can say, I would like to see the heat map of suit buyers. Not, I don't want to see how employees work, because to be honest, I can draw you the heat map of any store. It's not a problem. I don't even have to install sensors. I can tell you how it is. It's red in the middle. and then it's read at the POS system. So it doesn't make sense to do that. You would like to separate people from each other. You would like to remove the groups you don't, you're not interested in. And then you analyze behavior of specific groups. Otherwise, it's just random people walking in the store.
Makes a lot of sense. The golden question is now just, how do you know if they have bought something? Because if you, let's say, track them, you don't know who they are. You know they have been in front of the suit shelf for 15 minutes, maybe. Yeah? Probably they were interested in suits. Okay, I get that. But how do you track if the same person bought something and converted?
The person goes to the checkout. It has specific view directions, interacting with another person. Even have a companion with it, because the person who's paying is 30 centimeters more next to the POS. It's very accurate in that way. It's like I said. And then the detection that this person bought something is that the person was at the paying area of that POS number 5. And then we can even match the transaction with that person. But this is a GDPR problem. This is something we have to check. But it's technically based on time zone, not a problem. We, for example, we had it in food retail. We tracked this and we tracked every person. We had a 95% of separating companions from buyers. So if you go in a food retail and 1,000 people visit it, at the end you only have 800 receipts. So 200 of them were only companions. And we were able, with our tracking, to have that high accuracy to tell you who bought something and who was the companion. You can even reduce the frequency at the door, which says 1,000, reduce it to 600 because the other 400 are only children and companions. And that's just another view on the data if you track the people centimeter and second exact.
Okay, interesting. So we have
frequency. So maybe... Sorry?
No, I was just saying we have I'm just trying to build a mental model in my head. So we have frequency tracking, we have customer journey tracking, you can build heat maps and you know, and like you said, yeah, you build cohorts and then you can say, hey, the most promising with a high likelihood to convert are those who, I don't know, who had a companion with them and stood half an hour in front of the suit shelf, then they probably converted. Is there anything missing, or is this status quo today in store tracking, or any other option we haven't discussed?
From my point of view, the effort of tracking people to generate all the data I just said is makes much more sense if you use it also in real time. If you use it in real time, you can solve problems which are various in store operations. For example, you can send your staff to a specific cohort which you classified. You classify this person as high potential buyer based on their behavior. And then you say, this high potential buyer should not go. You can do anything with this high potential buyer. You can even go there and say, listen, you get this product for 10% off. It's a marketing tool. It allows you to react in real time because of the accuracy and the cohort classification. So, and we call this customer experience engine. The other way of the customer experience engine is loss prevention. What we could do, for example, if you have a self-checkout store, let's say you have a store where you can grab your stuff. For example, you get a coffee and then you have to pay that coffee. But we can detect that the person was definitely at this coffee machine and it interacted with this coffee machine. But this person just went out. It did not buy anything. It did not go to the self-checkout. So we stopped this person to go. It's, let's say, the negative customer experience engine. It's
closing the door at the
closing
quickly
the door,
closing the door.
Whatever. And we can even just track it and explain to the staff, oh, listen, you have 20 of these people who go to the coffee machine but don't pay. This is also an operational use. Another operational use is opening and closing traditional checkouts. Based on the occupancy, on the dwell time, right, on the predicted dwell time, we can open a checkout to reduce the waiting time in food retail. We can call the supervisor in the self-checkout area if there is nobody. If people are waiting for a long time, we can open and close the door of the self-checkout area after you bought something. And we can connect online with offline because we can let you check in. Like we said, you are anonymously in our store. But if you don't want to be anonymous, you just check in and we match the anonymous ID with your CRM ID. And then we can find you.
Now it's getting interesting. No.
So maybe before we dive into this, I think now we have a really good general understanding of the possibilities. And the hook for today is the 5 reasons why every retailer and every store should use retail analytics. I think we already dived into the first point pretty much of, first of all, generating data that you before that didn't have. Just a gut feeling. Most of the retailers, or a lot of retailers out there, they're just going by the gut. Oh yeah, Wednesday wasn't that great. The weather was not so nice. Maybe this and that many people were inside. And then on Friday was a lot better. And da, 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 da. But at the end of the day, we're in 2023, almost 2024. And we want to know what's really happening. And we want to work with this data. So I think from the first step or point of view, it's really about understanding what's really happening. And then, as you said, Omar, and maybe you can elaborate on this, it's not just about having the data, but also making it executionable and actionable of then doing things with it, correct?
Exactly.
Okay. Maybe we touched upon the topic gender classification and age. So these are things that are possible, but in your point of view, not necessarily we need this today in order to optimize what's happening in the store?
Well, I think gender and age is a powerful market research information. You can get this information in various ways. We do that in our 3D sensors already. So gender detection is possible with the sensors we use because it's not... I don't know the English word, eindeutig. Eindeutig. So it's not GDPR, it's not a GDPR issue.
Unique.
Because it's a unique.
It's not unique.
It's not a unique information of a person. Age is a GDPR technology issue. You have to look into the face to find out or to suggest an age. And from my point of view, it's a nice to have information. And for that, I don't want to look into the face of people.
All right, got it. And then one more thing that I had in mind is to track the turn-in rate, which is how many people from the shopping street are going into the store. Then it's possible to connect with third-party suppliers that are tracking high street frequency with the lasers or other things that is possible. So let's say you're on one of the major shopping streets in Germany and you know through a third-party provider that there's 800,000 people walking across the street per month and then per day X people. And then with the, for example, connection of this data with the data from the retail analytics, then you know today 500 people entered my store. And it's a percentage of 2% or 3% or 4% of the people who walked by the store went inside. So this is also something that's possible to then have a better look at the funnel of how many people walked by, how many people walked in, and how many of those people that walked in purchased something to have a look on the conversion rate, correct?
Exactly, exactly. You can have a lot of conversion rates within your conversion funnel. So it starts at the highest frequency, shopping center frequency, the level of a shopping center, and lasers, specifically LiDAR sensors, are good sensors to track outdoor movements. In that case, we can use for already installed sensors from, for example, High Street. They have a lot of sensors installed, and you can use the data for generating or for calculating the turn-in rate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect. Nino, any questions to the first point, or should we go to point number 2?
I mean, we touched GDPR many times now, but haven't really dived into this, and especially Europe compared to US. I'm not sure if you have any projects to compare. What's legally possible and allowed in Europe, which is GDPR conform?
Yes, a lot is allowed. To be honest, it's more allowed than the retailers want. And I think the most retailers don't even know that. But the issue is mostly not not the GDPR rules from the EU. The issue is the marketing and PR problem, of course. And I know that clients and employees think their surveillance system installed in that retailer that I want to buy somewhere where somebody's checking my face. So technically, you can do face detection, and you can store it for 1 millisecond and remove it. You have to prove that you remove it. Then you have and you have this information you have to put on your website in your store. So technically, you can do that. You can look at the face and remove the information after generating metadata. The issue we have here is not a GDPR legal problem. It's a marketing PR, and of course, it's what a retailer wants to do in his store. So
what does that mean? It's a PR and marketing problem. Is the problem that you can't let's assume, you know, there was a male person at its early 40s in the store. What's the PR and the marketing issue then?
The issue always is if you go into a store and you know that in this store people check your face, they store it, they analyze it, they use your personal data to do things you don't understand. The most people don't really take care of that. The only thing they hear, to be honest, is they're checking my face. And I know there was a case of Real, it's not existing anymore. It's long ago. In that case, it was from GDPR. I think everything okay. The problem was that the data you generate is not worth it to give your clients the feeling their surveillance system. So you really need to think about the usage. Why do I do that? For example, if I would like a better customer experience in my store, and I even would like that that staff knows that I'm here, me, Umatello, with the CRM ID 200, and this is my basket within the last 12 months, I would check in and I would opt in. I would say, please track me, because I want that the person comes to me when I had the shoes and asked me. Doesn't even ask me for my shoe size, because the person knows it already. So it's just, why do you do that? For what reason do you do that? What do you store? This is a classical GDPR issue. And just tricking on a hidden way, just because it's just on the edge of legally allowed, is, from my point of view, what I heard from our clients, is not what they do. The most clients, you do much less than it's allowed. Why would I track a person, let's say, recurringly without letting the person knowing that or even opt out? This is something which is, from my point of view, not really trustworthy to do things like that. The point is, why do you track? You would like the client to have a better experience and to stay your client, and that the classification of this person is better for you and the client, that he knows in this brand, online and offline, it's a perfect experience. I want to come back.
100%. So like also in the online world, with the same discussion, you can go down with personalization and storing cookies and tracking them anonymously versus in an authenticated state. It always has to be a benefit for the consumer. For the company, obviously, the benefit is you can analyze better. You brought up the example with real-time operations. So you send, if you feel there is someone in front of the counter for too long on her own, you send someone, because obviously they want something. But in the end, there always needs to be a consumer example. Otherwise, they would complain, or they wouldn't enter your store if they feel they are under surveillance. Sure. So I think that's not a... It's a general problem. If there is no benefit and the necessary level of transparency is there, they would lose trust, and then they would just stay away from this tracking store, probably.
Exactly. And I think the exceptions, for example, for fully automated stores, like Trico is doing it, or IFI. I mean, everywhere there are sensors, everything is checking, but you go there because you know, okay, there's nobody who's... There's no cashier. So, of course, it has to be tracked. But I like it because I want to grab my stuff and go out.
Exactly.
But why would you be tracked everywhere if there is no benefit? And this is what I always say at GDPR. It's about the benefit and the trust of the clients.
I mean, if the listeners don't, maybe some don't know, you brought up IFI, or what was the other name?
Trigo.
I think the most publicly known example would probably be Amazon Go. They started this, to my knowledge. I was myself in such a store, and you enter, you just scan your QR code within your Amazon app, and then you're authenticated and you walk around and they track you and they have various sensors everywhere and they know when you check out and what you put in your basket, and you leave without even queuing up somewhere. And I think this is a great benefit because I can do that 24 hours, 7 days a week. I don't need to pay attention to, oh shit, it's Sunday, I forgot to buy milk. I can just go to Amazon Go or any other automated store and I can buy that.
But there's another law in Germany.
In Germany,
you cannot even... Sunday is unfortunately not allowed, even if it's automatic.
Hmm. Unless they make it at a Rewe to go or some gas station, then yeah, there might be some gray area where it works.
Yeah. But again, it's a clear benefit.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. No, that was my point. It's another consumer benefit. They accept tracking, and what they get in return is 24 hours, 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To your point, if it's not in Germany.
All right. Should we jump into number two? We already talked a little bit about this, but Nino, maybe take that one on.
True. I mean, next to what we just discussed, I think identifying walking patterns, or in general, creating analytics, identifying customer groups, creating cross-zone funnels. We mentioned create heat maps. I think that's a big benefit a company get out of this, right? In order to make better decisions on which assortment should I put in this store. If I know I have a certain customer group in this, or even if you zoom into a store, let's say on the heat map you see, oh shit, they never walk to this corner in the store because it's not attractive or for whatever reason, I need to maybe change something. I need to put more attractive products in, right? So, or is there anything I'm missing here, Omar?
From analytical part, not now. This is actually for everything what I know from the retailers, what they need to optimize this store.
I have an example in the Blank store. A couple of years ago, we had an area where we had a huge amount of people going into this area. I think it was like cookingware and technology products. However, even though we had a big dwell time in this area and a lot of people, the sales were not that great from this specific area, because we also did the checkout ourselves. So we knew the sales or the revenue, and we knew the dwell time and the traffic. So we wondered, okay, maybe here the products are too complex. People are really interested in checking it out, but maybe there is not enough staff, or the staff is not trained well enough to give the advice for these products to then make sales. So this is probably a good use case, right? That with the data that you're generating and also identifying what's happening in certain areas within your store, then you can not just send people there, but also you know how to optimize conversion rates potentially. And then you can try this out. For example, when you have this data and you see, okay, last week there was a lot of people there, but we didn't sell anything. And then you allocate more staff in this specific area, and then your revenue goes up, then you have the answer that it was just something about the customer experience and the amount of personnel going into this product guidance.
This is the use cases for strategic tracking.
Okay.
From my point of view, I think based on analytics, it's more interesting to speak about actions, direct actions, real time, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Because there are various problems in stationary retail, which you can solve with tracking in real time.
Okay, perfect. Then let's go to the next one before we do that. You already touched, so the third reason why retail analytics makes sense is to increase the customer experience. And one thing that also we talked about, Omar, was this check-in scenario. So if a customer wants an enriched and increased experience, and I think Nino, this is also interesting for you, talking about CRM, there is this possibility that you say a person registrates for a store and checks in at the beginning, generating a CRM ID 100. And then these check-in situation can be connected with the sensors in the store. And then potentially, yeah, giving this person who just checked in personalized guidance through the store, giving a navigation and saying, hey, in this area is a product that you should check out because based on your registration and maybe the data that we have around your interests, we know where to send you and what to check out within the store. So Omar, is this something that's possible to execute on using the sensors and also some more technology and a connection to a customer relationship management tool?
Exactly. As we described in the first part of this podcast, we can track people in real time, every position, every 500 milliseconds. So we know exactly where a specific person is. Then we classify the people also in real time. We know this behavior is a typical behavior of a specific customer group. We have additional information like gender and children or adults. So we have a lot of properties of this anonymous profile. We have an anonymous profile in real time. Then the question is, of course, I would like to interact with this anonymous profile. I can even do that without connecting to a, let's say, a real human profile, which is the CRM. Let's say the person is into the store and we don't know who it is. It's just an anonymous person. We can still, based on that, on the customer groups, interact with this person. We can send the staff to the potential, high potential supervisors. So, but let's go one step further. If you come into the store, me, for example, myself, I would do that. I would like to let the staff know who I am and where and that I'm in the store, because it helps me to get the products I want and to get help. If I have a CRM profile at my retailer, which is based on my online behavior, based on my purchases, they have all this stuff they have from me, and which I gave it to them. So I come to the store and I decide to check in. So I use my retailer X app and I check in at the entrance. And at that point, we do that merging of CRM profile, real profile, and the opt-in is done because I use it. I decide to use it and connect it to the anonymous profile. So what can I do with that? I can track the person within the store. I know what shoe size the person has. I know what the person likes. I know if it's a VIP client or if it's a new client. I can interact much better with that person. And I can even go there and say, would you like the shoes in your size? And even if the person goes out and does not pay, you can send an email. You can send a push. Listen, I have this product. I have the suits online. Maybe you just go in the online store and check your products, which you didn't find in the real world. Again, so you have omnichannel, but it must be an advantage for the client. So me, myself, I would like to have a system like that because it makes my experience in the store much better. I don't go to the store to get a product which I can buy online. I don't go to the store if I know what I want. Why would I do that? I can buy it online. I'd go there because I need to speak with somebody. I need to touch the products. I need to wear the products. And I need to get experience. Inspiration. So, and of course, it would be great if the staff is there for me, if it knows who I am, if I get information. So, at the end, if you have a CRM system, if you have a loyalty system, you have a profile of Omar Tello, and you know that this person was at the online shop at specific times, and you know that this person was in the store, buying or not buying, and you help the client and the staff and your whole business to understand your clients much better. But from my point, like we already discussed, the client or the customer, the needs to know about that, and the person has to has to want it. There must be benefits for this person. And also it must work, because if you don't track very accurate in the store, you cannot connect online with offline. That 2 seconds where you check in and you are in a specific position is the connecting of two different profiles, where you make the anonymous profile to real profile.
And how exactly, because that's exactly my world where I'm in. So not so much in the anonymous tracking, where someone enters the store, dwells, and then talks to an agent. I think it's rather the agent the store rep talking to that customer. To your point earlier, I go to the store because I need advice. I need counseling. I need to try on something. How exactly are you doing this? Matching this journey, which is on cameras and metadata, with the CRM record? Are you asking, or how can I imagine that from a process point of view? I go there, I ask the agent, hey, I want to try this shoe. Can you bring it in size 40, 45? How does it work?
Well, we have a bi-directional API. You, for example, one point is you could provide an app which scans this QR code. This QR code is more specific. So you go to the store and you scan, your app scans the code. And this app is not from Sensorytics. It's any CRM system. It's any loyalty system. It sends immediately this information that somebody just scanned this code to Sensorytics via webhooks. And then in that same moment, we know who was there, which ID was at this time at this specific area, and then we match it. The other way around is you have a tablet at the entrance which has a camera, and you show your profile also from a map to this tablet, and this tablet sends the information to Sensorytics. But there must be we need a bidirectional webhook integration with a CRM system. So we don't have CRM systems. We provide the profile as an API, as an export, in real time, as a batch, whatever you would like. So we connect the profiles. But the USP is track the person the whole journey, being able to merge the two profiles in real time using our event-based technology. And then we connect it. And the staff has a tablet app with Sensorytics, with the real-time tracking system. It can click on every person walking around the store and ask the CRM or Sensorytics, who is this? This person is in the store already for 10 minutes. And this is Martin. And Martin has a basket of 10,000 euros a year. And he likes, I don't know, specific brand. and then you go and say, hey, Martin, is it time for a new suit again? And Martin is not surprised, because Martin checked in. Martin wants it. I hope Martin wants that. I don't know, but
a nice new suit would be cool. Yeah,
you could deserve one.
No, maybe you can buy it for me, Nino.
Sure. Hey, let's go to the next store.
Hugo Boss. Okay, so I think understood, right? So there's a possibility through various check-in scenarios in connection with an API to the CRM that it's possible to de-anonymize the user within a retail store that previously was anonymous, but now since he has registered, opted in to be tracked and connected with the CRM, now we have a full picture of who is this person, what is the email address, potentially the phone number, what is this person interested in, what are the walking patterns within the physical store, what is the behavior in the online store. If there is historical data, it makes it even more interesting at that point. But then, of course, if the person is registered and stays with this retailer or brand, then you create more and more data and you can get more and more personalized in the future, which is a huge benefit for the customer at the end of the day.
Perfect summary.
Okay, so let's dive into point number 4 of why retail analytics makes sense. And you touched upon this. It's queue management, for one, especially for probably supermarkets, etc. But maybe also for, was heißt nochmal, Bauhäuser, Department, no, do it yourself. Yeah, do it yourself in construction stores. So yeah, maybe you can yeah talk a little bit about why queue management makes sense with the connection of retail analytics and what are the possibilities.
Yeah, sure. I think one of the disadvantages of brick and mortar compared to e-commerce is the checkout process. You have to go to a specific area, you have to check out. It takes a lot of time, doesn't really make sense because online it does better if there are 1 million people who buy something, they all check out at the same time. So everybody has his own POS. But in POS management, especially in food retail, this area is the advantage because you can also grab other products while waiting, but waiting time is not good. So with our technology in real time, tracking and classifying people, separating buyers from companions, we are able to automate this process. So we can open and close traditional checkouts by informing the staff using in-store communication. And we can automate the self-checkout area. So one point is serving the traditional checkout area, knowing how many people are there. We predict the occupancy at these checkouts because we know how many people are in the store, how many went out, and we have historical data to put that into our machine learning engine to find out what could happen. So it's very accurate and it reduces the time at the checkout because it's more efficient how the staff opens and closes. I think the more interesting part is the self-checkout, because self-checkout will come. It's commodity. It will be commodity within the next 5 years. Every retailer will use it, even in Germany. So our tracking helps with a very low cost to track the whole area, to know how if a client, if a customer needs help. You can call supervisors, can open the gate based on the behavior, based on if the person bought or not. So all in all, this solution is made for optimizing traditional checkouts, self-checkout, and to the benefit for the client is reduced waiting times.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. One point that I just had in my mind was also with traditional cashier and checkouts that usually people are already standing in line and then kind of getting angry. I know this about myself. Like you see, okay, there's four potential checkouts, but only one is opened with a person doing the checkout, and there's a huge line. And then at that moment, maybe this person working there calls some people from the back saying, hey, please open cash register number 2 because there's plenty of people waiting here. So I guess with your solution and any retail analytics solution that offers this, you have the possibility to kind of find the right moment of identifying, okay, there will be a lot of people at the checkout in the next couple of minutes. So at this point, someone should already start walking to the cash register to open a new one so the people can split up and go to different checkouts. Do you know what I mean? So is this also possible to do predictive analytics based on how many people want into the store and what's happening?
Yes, exactly.
At the checkout?
And this is not only a buzzword because it's working, because it's a closed system. The organism of a food retailer is always the same. People go in, have a specific dwell time, and they will go to the checkout. Nobody goes in just for checking what's new at the Lidl or Aldi. So you will buy something.
Yeah.
We can predict it very, very accurate because we know the historical data. It must be very accurate. That what we track, that we use that data to feed our machine learning engine, and it predicts near time, so within the next 10 minutes. It's not saying what will happen tomorrow if it rains or if it doesn't rain. This is statistics. What we do is closed system near time predictions. And this is a classical machine learning topic. It's helping us to know if the store is very full and it's Saturday morning and we have three possible open checkouts. You have to imagine that just because you have six checkouts doesn't mean you can operate six. A big issue is the staff. So sometimes you need four, but you can only, you cannot open four because you only have two people in the store.
Yeah.
And this is something which our system has to deal with. We need to know what is the current possible number of checkouts open, and how long will I leave two at the specific time opened, so the next ones who come within the next 10 minutes wait less. And it's a very complex system to open and close. And we have a lot of experience in that field because we found out that, like just said, just because we have six checkouts doesn't mean we can all open all them. So this doesn't make sense. And we have, especially in Germany, the checkout issue is that there's no staff. It's not about technology, to be honest. It's
shortage of staff.
So overall, it's machine learning system. It's a real time, very accurate tracking. Must be GDPR compliant, and of course, it should not bomb the budget for systems like that. And this is also based on our real time, real world tracking engine.
Very nice. Okay, so let's dive into the last point. And here I have a little sound for this.
This is the future of retail.
So predicting the future is another point. We already talked about it. Predictive analytics, finding out what will happen in the next 10 minutes. But since everybody is talking about artificial intelligence nowadays, maybe you can also tell us your own thoughts of what will happen in the next couple of years with artificial intelligence in the context of retail analytics, and what possibilities do you see in the future?
Yeah, well, I think AI is commodity, specifically predictive analytics commodity in retail, or at least what we do. We can predict the occupancy, we can predict the conversion rates, we can predict any KPI which we also track. You need a specific amount of data, you need it very accurate, and then you need a machine learning engine, and that's it. So this is one part, machine learning. I think this is not future. If we speak about it, it's already used happening. I think the generative AI is something which can increase the customer experience in these stores. Just like I said, you have a shortage of staff at the checkout area currently. You maybe have sometimes, you will have shortage of staff in non-food retail, where you need people to help you, where you need orientation, where you would like to speak with somebody. And I think AI is able to speak with you. If you check in, like we described, you know, you're in the store, you're at the suits, and you would like to tell somebody what you need, you can use your app and speak with that machine, with that artificial intelligence system, to find out if the shoes are there. You can just speak with that app, and to increase the customer experience in the store. So using the real CRM profile of the person, using the anonymous tracking profile, and using your app, or maybe even touch point in the store, to speak with the machine if the staff is short or the sort of staff. And I think this is the next stationary retail AI use case from my point of view. I mean, I don't know what the future will be. I'm not really a visionary guy, but I think stationary retail is about experience. It's about the reason why you go to the store. You go there because you don't know what you would like to buy. You would like to see the products, and you need an assistant. If this is a human, which is backed by a technology behind it, or if it's the app of the store, and behind it there's an AI system, I think this is just a question of time till we will see that in retail. So summarize it like that. I think there are two ways of AI, and one is already used, and the other one is very promising.
Great. So I think for the customers out there, it's going to get a lot more personalized and richer in experience, hopefully. let's see what will happen. There's already some things cooking in the background, I'm sure, of new projects coming up. We're also working on something, so let's see if we can talk about this maybe in the future. I think that's a good ending point. So Nino unfortunately dropped out due to a bad connection. But from my side and Nino's side, thanks for taking the time, Omar, to talk about retail analytics and all the possibilities collecting data in the real world and in physical stores. It was really, really nice to dive in. And yeah, thanks a lot for that.
Thank you very much. Thank you also, Nino. Yeah, it was a great time to speak with you about the innovations in retail.
Perfect. Thanks.
Thank you. Next time.
The Retail Reality Show with your hosts, Martin and Nino, is presented by Blank and Salesforce. For more information, check out our website, retailrealityshow.com.